Welcome back to the second half of Prepare Without Fear on this beautiful day, class number 6 on the air. We've been talking about winter without worries in this clothing, and we're now going to look at a sleeping bag made around the same principles and the rest of the clothing we're talking about. So think about it. What are we going to have? Well, the insulation, we're going to use this open-cell polyurethane foam plastic. But for the winter bag, for the extreme colder bag, we're going to use 1.5 inch of the foam. 1.5 inch of foam that's going to surround our 1 inch clothing, and we're going to go to bed in. So we're going to actually be sleeping inside of at least 2.5 inches of foam. I'm going to use materials that would line that sleeping bag that are going to be very open, like the tricot mesh that we talked about to put inside of the clothing, or that you might use on the inner thermal liners from last week's class. We could line it with that to protect the foam and keep from hanging up on the foam. You really want to line a sleeping bag because you've got to slide in and out of that thing fairly easily. And then on the outside, we also want a non-waterproof, all-synthetic, very tightly woven fabric, something like very often you'll think of it as being a ripstop. It's a windproof or a windtight material. But you've got to be sure that it is not waterproof, that it is not coated, because if it's waterproofed at any level, even the stuff that's called waterproof breathable, which is really a myth, listen to classes back and you'll hear about that. Waterproof breathable is a myth. Not that it's not waterproof, not that it's not breathable, it's just not breathable enough, and you will get moisture accumulation. If you want to see that, watch DVD number 2, this one on clothing. Watch that, and you'll see a freezer test that we did where we put an individual dry inside of a cold chamber, the one that we want to look at, that was wearing the different new high-tech spacey fabrics on the inside and had one of these waterproof breathable shells over the outside that's been around for many years, and it sells millions of dollars worth of it for decades now. And you just see all the ice build up inside of it. It just falls out of the clothing. I've experienced it. Other people have experienced it. And right there it is on video. Doesn't mean it's not breathable. It just means it's not breathable enough to honestly do the job in the extremes. So that's the kind of fabrics we'll put on the outside, these very breathable, synthetic, non-waterproof things. And we're going to build this thing up. Now, I have to talk to you a little bit about the construction. This is a little bit different than the clothing. Really, the best way to do it is to glue it, unless you have the mega machine to sew it with. We have them in the factory. Adam, in the factory, you probably don't have one at home. You can build what I call a three-season bag. Let me back up for a moment, because I said I use 1.5 inches. There's really 2 sleeping bags you can make here. You can make one like as the very first bags that we made, using 1 inch of foam, and I'm going to use the 1 inch foam that's kind of the medium. It's a little firmer so that it holds its loft even a little bit better. And 1 inch of foam sleeping bag, and I'm going to make it fairly slim, and I'm designing it so I get in it in my street clothing. That's a three-season bag, spring, summer, and fall. It handles moisture wonderfully if it gets absolutely soaking wet. Boy, I've been on some of these wilderness trips in the summer where you're just like wringing wet. And, oh, that's miserable, even though the temperature may be no colder than 50. 50 degrees in a wet sleeping bag at night is not fun. Inside of the foam sleeping bag, it's amazing because you don't get cold, and then the moisture keeps going out, and it'll dry. These things self-dry. So you could consider making a 1-inch sleeping bag for 3 seasons, and it's really built pretty much the same way, except we'll use the medium foam both top and bottom. Now let's go to the winter bag. Have to think about this bag. I said that you're going to go to bed with your clothing on in it, and that sounds like it breaks a rule. Standard rules say take your clothing off when you go to bed at night, particularly in the winter. You must remove your clothing so you don't take moisture inside of the sleeping bag. We're going to break that rule, and I think it's fairly obvious from what we've said, but I'll cover a little more on breaking that rule right after this break, because you're going to sleep with your clothing on, which means the bag has to be big enough to sleep with your clothing on.
Heart. Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. I'm Jim Phillips, your host on this beautiful day. Well, we're talking about these sleeping bags, and remember just before the break, I said I'm going to break one of these rules. One of the standard rules that's talked about in camping, especially winter camping, is that you must remove your clothing before you go to bed. Why? Well, you've got this clothing that you've been wearing through the day, and maybe you've been exercising very heavily, and you've been perspiring in it, or you've been around snow and sleet, and however it is, you've gotten that clothing usually wet. It may have ice on the outside. It might have some ice on the inside. And standard cold weather clothing really accumulates some moisture, and it may accumulate some ice. And the thought is simply this. Boy, if you go to bed with that clothing on in a standard sleeping bag, it's going to melt during the night. It's going to get into the sleeping bag, and it's getting it stuck in the sleeping bag. And standard sleeping bags and sleeping systems, the way they use them, are designed to collect moisture. It's kind of like you said, what could I do to have my bedding collect moisture in the middle of the night? I'm going to build it that way. That's kind of the way they're made. They don't talk about it like that, and they certainly will be offended when I say that, but the experience shows that to be true. And if any of you are listening out there have ever had, you know, a sleeping bag, it's comfort rated for 20 below zero, and you've used it for 2 or 3 days out there, and it's not even zero. Let's say it's 20 above, and you've been sleeping in that thing for 3 or 4 nights in a row, and you were unable to service it, turn it inside out, fluff it up, hang it up in the sun, get in inside of a building where it's warm. Let's say you were outside continuously. After 3 or 4 days in a standard sleeping bag, it starts to go south on you. As a matter of fact, it may be a shorter period than that. And it's moisture buildup that's the real problem. So we're going to talk to you about and show you about a system that works differently using different materials and a different approach so that you don't have a moisture problem. Since we don't have a moisture problem with a sleeping bag, just accept the fact that I'm going to go to bed with my clothing on. My 1 inch of clothing, I'm wearing it. Now, the footwear, what I'm going to do is I'm going to remove the outer shell to the footwear, and it's going to stay outside. And then the inner sock I'm going to wear going into bed. Now, that brings up a little question because I just talked earlier in the program about this fold-up sock. And if you take the outer bag off of it, it's going to, like, flop open on you, and that's not going to work very well. And that's true. Here's a little secret that we started to do years ago. This is before we made the sock. We made a thing called a booty bag. And a booty bag is a very open mesh material, kind of like a laundry bag material if you were in the military or you've seen laundry bags. Not cotton. It must be a nylon or a polyester, but it's really, really open. Take and make a what looks like just a gigantic sock, kind of like a Christmas stocking that you'd hang up, just a simple shape like that, nothing fancy at all. And you make this booty bag that goes over top of that sock, and that slides down inside of your footwear. So now you get the picture that, oh, I can slip the outer shell off, and it doesn't unfold because it's being held together. This roll and stuff sock is held together by this big sock that goes over top of it we call a booty bag. So I can slip off that shell and then go to bed with that sock on. First off, when you go to bed this way, think about it. I'm not taking my clothing off. Have you ever undressed at 40 below zero? Well, I have, and it's like lousy comes to mind, painful comes to mind. It's a hideous idea, particularly if you're outside and the wind is blowing, you don't have good shelter, and you're like, I have to take my snow-encrusted clothing off so I don't take it to bed in my sleeping bag. You freeze your behind you off trying to get in bed. Then you have another problem. You've taken your clothing off, and I know you try to stuff it down inside of something and put it someplace, but the point is it's not inside of that nice, warm sleeping bag. It's outside of that sleeping bag, hanging up in your tent, rolled up in a stuff sack, or used as a pillow, or slipped inside of your bivy sack or something like that, but it's not where it's warm. So now then that clothing that had some ice in it or some moisture in it, it like freezes solid. So you, let's say you did sleep a nice warm night. You wake up in the morning saying, hey, this feels good. You look at that lump of frozen clothing, and it's like, ain't no way I want to put that on, and you don't. I've had to do that. I've tried that. It's a dumb idea. I'm just not into pain. You see, what I learned, it took me a little while, but I learned that pain is just not cracked up to be all that great. Pain's not what I want to do. I do my best to avoid it as much as I can. And in the winter, that's a great time to avoid pain. It's called cold, shivering, things like that. So we go to bed with the clothing on, number one, so we don't have to undress and get cold. Number two, so we don't have to dress in the cold clothing in the morning when you get up. And number three, since this sleeping bag and this clothing all works this wonderful way to eliminate the moisture, when I get up in the morning, I have slept warm, fully dressed. I just stand up, and my clothing, for whatever moisture was in it during the night, has now come out of the clothing and passed right through the sleeping bag to the outside also, and it is gone. And I know that's the case. If you listen to earlier programs and also if you watch the number 2 DVD, you see the pictures there. You've heard the story about me making the plunge through the hole in the ice, getting myself and my clothing very wet, and then going through normal camp activities, and then later on that night going to bed in my foam sleeping bag with my still quite wet clothing. It takes quite a few hours to get that amount of moisture out. That doesn't just fall out in 15 minutes. It's going to take a while to get rid of it, and once it's out, you're dry. It's wonderful. That's what I did. That's moisture management taken to its absolute limits. All right, so there's a little bit about the performance of the bag. Let's talk about building the bag. Inch and a half foam. The way that I like to do the winter bag is to use a soft foam on the top, the really soft or super soft foam on the top, and then on the bottom use a medium density and stiffness of foam. By the way, stiffness is measured as ILD. is what it is. And so I'm going to use one that has a little higher ILD on the bottom. Now, it does make the bag a little stiffer. It makes it a little harder to roll up, but it's not that bad. But it absolutely gives you cushion underneath. It's wonderful. I'm just not into sleeping on hard ground anymore. Hey, when you get to be over 60, you know, I've slept on the ground enough. I don't need to do that. So I'm going to use a medium foam on the bottom, inch and a half thick, a soft foam on the top, and then you need to join them together. I build kind of a mummy shape. In fact, laying right outside of my office here, I have one of them that was made by one of my students. She did such a beautiful job. This is Karen. She came to a class, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, had to drive a couple of hundred miles to come to the class, and has gone home and made a pile. When I say a pile, a stack of these sleeping bags. I don't know, there's a dozen or 15 or something like that for a family. No, it's more than that, because she's had to outfit, I think she said, 30 family members, you know, kids and grandkids and spouses, things like that. So she's been making sleeping bags and the clothing to take care of her family. And I'm looking at one of her bags here. She did such a nice job on. I traded her one of my commercially ones, ones made in the factory, for this one. So I can show people that just, you know, ordinary folks, and I'm ordinary folks, you can make these things if you want to. So here's how you join the foam. If you don't have the super industrial machine to sew through 3 inches of foam, you glue it. You take and you glue it with some of the adhesives that are made for polyurethane foams. It's very important that around that edge that you glue on the outside, you do that whip stitching like we talked about in the mittens, that just nipping through the foam about an eighth of an inch to a quarter of an inch and tying off the knots all the way around so that glue joint will never creep on you. And you'll have a bag that'll last for, you know, decades. I have some bags that were made back in the, when are those? This would be probably 72, 73 for one of these bags that I've got. And it's still perfectly functional, although it's been hammered and torn and beat up a lot. It'll still work. So now that I can join the upper and bottom foams together by butt gluing them, whip stitching around the edge, I don't put a zipper down the side. You can do that. Some people are, but zippers are a pain to set. They're a lot of work. They're hard to put in. Then you have to worry about a cold flap and a wind seal, and it gets snagged in it. I don't. What I do is I just have across the top, right around that would be just below your, right across the top of your shoulders, the bag is just, there's just a slit on the top so you can slide down and tie. And then I have a flap that extends up the bottom portion of it extends up a little bit further, and I can either fold it back, or the top could come down, either way, and it overlaps that slit that's in there, but there's no zipper, there's no closure on it. I'm going to bed with this 1-inch clothing on that lets me sit around at 0 or 20 or 30 below zero, and so a little bit of an air gap is not a big issue in there. As a matter of fact, you'll enjoy it. So I don't even put a zipper in. It's just a slit that goes across all the way across the bags about shoulder height or just above shoulders. I'll just slide down into the bag and then tuck my head inside if I need to, or just sleep with my head outside, which is the way I like to sleep most of the time if the weather is allowing me to do that or if I'm sheltered. Now then the outer fabric, it just slips over the top of that, and the inner fabric, we slide down inside. But do you remember what I talked about in the mittens when we're building the mittens? So you don't want that inner liner that's in the mittens, or especially in the sleeping bag, to float around inside. It might be attached all the way around the, like the opening at the top, and it's just tucked down inside. The problem is, if you're like me and you sleep like a mixmaster, sometime you turn over and over a little bit, you'll wrap yourself up in it like a dish rag, and you'll find yourself being strangled by the thing. And then you have to figure out how do you unfold yourself from it. So what you want to do is not have that fabric free-floating inside, but you glued the bag together, and you just spread this fabric, this liner fabric that's just a bag that's down inside. How do you fix it? Well, you do it just like we told you to do in the mittens. You're going to put these little ribbons or these little tabs. They're going to be several inches long. You're going to reach through with a pair of hemostats. You'll just poke it through that joint where the foam is. Go in and grab that ribbon, pull it to the outside, put a little bit of glue on things there so you seal that hole up and glue it down around the fabric, the ribbon that comes through. And then where that whip stitching is that goes around the seam, I just lay my my ribbon that sticks through into it, and I just whip stitch it into the foam. It can't pull through. And you do that, it's going to be tied right around the opening, so the opening is tied down about halfway to your hips, a little bit above your waist. You do it down about above your knees, and then at the foot, you stick these little ribbons through in those 3 or 4 places on either side, and it will not allow that fabric to move around the inside. and it's a wonderful environment to be in. You have this insulated cocoon. We'll talk more about this after the break.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. I'm your host, Jim Phillips, on this beautiful day. You know, I was just went online. I love what the folks at Republic Broadcasting have done. The first hour of this program is already archived there along with all of the others we've done, and I encourage you to go back and listen to the series because they do build upon each other. My goal, my interest is help as many people as possible to prepare without fear, face the future without fear. That's what it's all about to me. You do that with knowledge. If you have questions, we'll be glad to get information to you. You can email a question to askjim@preparemyfamily.com. You can go online to www.preparemyfamily.com, and that's where you can buy the DVDs that we produce. That one that I really want to get people started with, the number one in the Self-Reliant Family series, that you can get to get you started with all of these principles I've been talking about. But you can also find the number two there, which is on the clothing, and you'll see the pictures and you'll get an idea of how and why it works. These are DVDs that my son and I have produced over the years to to help train people. There's more that will be coming now that we're having more resources flow to us. We have the ability to produce the whole series of these things. There's a live class that's coming up. It's been scheduled for November 30th and December 1st in Rexburg, Idaho. If you're anywhere close to that, you may want to come over to that class. We try to get a large number of people together. I don't have the contacts for the people that are actually organizing it right here, but if you'll send us an email or leave your information how to contact you on the toll-free voicemail, which is 888-YOU-GET-SET. That's 888-843-8737, and we'll contact you with information you need there. Also, you can go to foamclothing.com to find more information about the foam clothing and to learn more about the materials, what they are, and how they work. And there'll be more information being posted there in coming days. This will help you produce your own clothing if you want, or through foamclothing.com, these things are going back into production. You'll be able to buy them. If you don't want to make them, then by all means, we'll make them for you is what it comes down to. But if you cannot afford to purchase them and you need to use some sweat equity to get them, I will teach you how to do it so you can use your sweat equity, because it's all about becoming prepared to meet the future without fear. We'll help you as best we can. Well, back on the sleeping bag, as we're finishing up a little bit here, we've talked about the general construction of the bag. I like to make it in kind of a mummy shape. Where it tapers down around the head, and then, of course, it down to about mid-thigh, or certainly at hip level, but about mid-thigh, and then it tapers down towards the foot. Now, be careful about making it too small, because you're going to bed with some big stuff on. You're wearing part of your sleeping bag all the time, so it needs to be large enough to accommodate you. One of the challenges we had in the beginning was we made the sleeping bag basically flat, meaning that the top and the bottom was either sewed or glued together all the way around flat. And that really cramped your feet. Now, if you slept on the side, it wasn't too bad. But if you're a back sleeper and your feet are like sticking up with these big socks on, these foam socks, the sleeping bag had to be made extra, extra long so you could kind of stretch it out. Well, it was a real simple fix to that. And this was back about 1984 when I was making a bag, and I said, my feet are always so tight in this thing. And it's like, well, duh, why don't you put what we call a box foot in it? And that's rather than having the bag just flat across the end, you actually shorten the bag up a little bit because we had to make it extra long so we could stretch it out, shorten it up, and then you just put a big round piece in the end down there to form what would be a box foot. So you're not trying to stretch it. It's already opened up. And, boy, did that help. So, that's another idea that you could use. Let's see, what else have I not? That's pretty much it as far as the sleeping bag goes. Now, let's talk about the sleeping system, because there's a little more to this than the sleeping bag. This is where it really gets interesting and it gets fun, and it will allow you to spend time out in the cold and out in the winter. There was in 1967, when my dad and I took the first trip to the Arctic, we were off of Point Barrow, Alaska, and there was a British explorer team. This was the Wally Herbert expedition that was going from Point Barrow, Alaska, across to the North Pole and then down the other side to Spitzbergen on the other side. It was a transarctic expedition. I don't think that had been done at that time. They were traveling on foot and with sleds, but they were being resupplied along the way. We met up with some of the support team there, listening to what they're doing. And here's guys that are literally Arctic explorers. I mean, we're novices. This is our first time to the Arctic, and here's people that have been in the Arctic in the cold for many times, and we like to listen to other people and their expertise because you can learn things. Sometimes you really learn some important things. Sometimes you learn what not to do, and that's just as useful as learning what to do. Well, in one of these conversations, talking with the support team and the folks that are out on the ice that they're in radio contact with all the time, and they'd take them out supplies, and they were there for safety backup, asked the question and said, do you guys or do they ever have a problem with ice in your sleeping bag? And it was like they rolled their eyes, and it was like, yeah, that's the dumb question of the day about all this. And they started talking about the pain and misery of ice that builds up in a sleeping bag and how cold it was and how you suffered with that. And the question was, well, how do you solve the problem? How do you eliminate it? And right after this break, I'm going to tell you what their answer was, because it was very surprising, and I'll show you how we take care of it.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Back to Prepare Without Fear. This is your host, Jim Phillips, on this beautiful day. Talking about the sleeping system now. We've talked about the sleeping bag and the clothing, but now it becomes a system. In fact, the entire thing that we do in winter is known as the Phillips Arctic Living System. And being an engineer, and my dad before me is an engineer, we're engineers, so we think in terms of how things fit together and work together. So systems is just kind of a natural way of thinking about these things. That means there's synergism. That means that things work together. Well, the sleeping system is more than a sleeping bag. There's 2 other vital components that make it all work. I was talking before the break about this ice and water problem here, the Wally Herbert expedition in the Arctic. And the question was, do you ever have a problem with ice in your sleeping bags? And we got this answer that was like, what kind of a moron are you to ask that question? Of course, it's winter. What do you expect? Kind of what it seemed like. Of course, I know that most people that spend extended periods of time, you know, a 1-night camp or a 2-night camp, it may not be that much of a problem. But if you're out there for night after night after night, ice is one of those tremendous difficulties you have to face in your sleeping bags. When you do it the standard way, the regular way, the traditional way. And here's what they said. They said, well, you know, when the ice buildup is so bad that you can't sleep anymore and you're suffering, we send a jet helicopter out with a dry bag and we bring the iced up one back to dry out. Well, that was the end of that discussion because we didn't have a helicopter to send out there. We didn't have two sleeping bags. We had what we had in our backpack, one sleeping bag, one set of clothing, our food, the things we needed. That was all that we had with us, and we had no ice problem. Here's how you solve it. There's other expeditions. I've read about them, the Will Steiger expedition that went to the North Pole back in the mid-late 80s. They talked about all the trouble they had with ice in their sleeping bag. In fact, there's a classic picture. I love it. They have this sleeping bag that's being flung out across the ice, and there they were abandoning it, getting rid of equipment to lighten their load. People are going to now double up and, you know, get more than one person in a sleeping bag, jam themselves in there to both reduce weights because they're in a sprint for the pole. But the caption underneath the sleeping bag being thrown out is this, that they were being abandoned out there to reduce weight because it had accumulated more than 50 pounds of ice in that sleeping bag. It's like, wow, and I know how that happens. Well, here's what we do. There's two other components. And these came about almost serendipitously in a way. They were kind of accidents. You try something, it works well. You try to figure out why it works well, and then you can explain it. Underneath this sleeping bag, understand that we built it like the clothing so the moisture will just pass right through to the outside. Well, it's easy to understand on the top because it can just escape out into the environment or up underneath the bed wrap that you may have around it. But on the bottom of the sleeping bag, where you're laying on it, that's a real problem. Now, most sleeping bag systems, let's say the traditional way of doing it, you're going to put underneath it a closed cell foam mat, or you may put underneath it something like one of these self-inflating pads like the Thermarest. The people that invented that, that puff up. They're wonderful insulation. They compact down really small, and then they self-inflate, and you pump them up by blowing in them a little bit, and that makes a wonderful insulating pad underneath. But think about it. The closed cell pad or the Thermarest or the air mattress or even the bottom of your tent, the bottom of your plastic sheet, the bottom of whatever it is you're in, the moisture comes out of the bottom of your sleeping bag and hits that thing, whatever it is, and it's cold there. It stops there. It can't get through, and it freezes there, and then it starts building back up in the bottom of your sleeping bag. You're forcing the moisture back into the bottom of your sleeping bag, and it builds up and builds up and builds up and gets worse on you. So how do you get rid of it? Well, we get rid of it by putting underneath our sleeping bag. Here's our sleeping bag made the way we've made it, and it lets the moisture pass right through. Underneath it, we have a one-inch thick open cell polyurethane foam pad that is firm, quite firm. That is called a moisture handling pad. That's its simple technical name because it describes exactly what it does. It handles moisture away from the bottom of the sleeping bag. It's open cell. Now, at first, we were just using the open cell pad underneath the bag, and then you got ice in the pad, but that's better than ice in the bottom of your sleeping bag, but this thing's starting to ice up, and then you had to fuss with it and try and get ice out of it or rotate it with another one. Because the ice, the moisture as it's passing out the bottom of your sleeping bag, it passes into that open cell pad, and it goes down and hits against the plastic sheet or ground cloth or whatever you have. It freezes there, and then it starts building back up in the foam pad. Obviously better than the bottom of your sleeping bag, but now you have an ice problem. What happened on that 1967 Arctic trip was we'd taken a piece of parachute cloth. This is mil-spec parachute cloth. And just to get it out of the way, it was there because we didn't know if we'd need it or why it was there. This is some of those little serendipitous inspirations that you get. To get it out of the way, we spread it underneath, right on top of the plastic sheet, underneath the moisture handling pad, which we had on top of it, the sleeping bag. It was spread out underneath in one of our igloos, in one of our shelters, and then we were sleeping on top of that. Well, after a few days of sleeping there, it was time to kind of rearrange the bed and, you know, kind of make things up and straighten them out. And we open that up, and here's the moisture handling pad that had no frost or ice in it, and here's this piece of nylon parachute cloth that had ice in it. It was glazed with ice, but it wasn't in the pad. And then it's like, well, we understood what was going on. The the moisture was coming through the pad and freezing in the interstitial space, you know, the holes in the weave, freezing inside of that right against the plastic sheet, and there was the ice. So you take that cloth out, which is now called the de-icing cloth. You take that cloth out, you wad it up, crumble it up, and you just shake the ice out of it. It's in the space. You see, nylon does not absorb moisture into the fiber, or polyester doesn't, those two things. If you had cotton there, it'd be a sheet of ice, and you couldn't do anything about it because it's in the fiber. If you had wool, it'd be in the fiber. So we use a nylon or a polyester so that it's not in the fiber. It's just in the holes, if you will, in the weave in between. It's full of ice. You just wad it up, shake it out, and it's done. You de-iced your bed. And when you do it that way, ever since 1967 on that trip, we have never had ice build up in the sleeping bags. I've had some instances where I've had a huge amount of moisture potentially in my sleeping bag. Remember the ice plunge that I told you about previous class? I go to bed in this really, really wet clothing. And in the morning, my clothing was almost completely, absolutely dry. My sleeping bag is slightly damp. And underneath that moisture handling pad, that de-icing cloth, it is just frozen solid as a big slab of ice because we told the ice where to go and it accumulated there. I pull that frozen sheet of nylon out, wad it up, crumple it up, bash it around, you know, wad it in your hands and just roll it up, shake it out, and you just powder up the ice and it's out of there. You put that back underneath the bed again and you sleep in that sleeping bag one more night. And the clothing and the sleeping bag is completely dry after two nights of sleeping in it. That's no fire, no shelter, no sunshine, no turning it inside out, not taking it inside of a building or anything like that. Have spent time above the Arctic Circle. One of these trips, it was 3 weeks long, a little over 3 weeks. One of our pals' sleeping systems was slept in 21 nights. Not any ice in the sleeping bag that you could detect. But yet, there was ice that was showing up in the de-icing cloth, and every day or two, you'd take it out and just wad it up and shake it out and get rid of it. The other sleeping bag that we had, in fact, we actually weighed them to determine this. When I got back, I'd double-bagged in gigantic trash bags both the PAL's sleeping bag and sleeping system, along with the all of its components so that moisture couldn't escape. And then I took one of these other wonderful, it was a super-duty high-loft, very expensive, kind of almost custom-made. It wasn't custom-made for us, but, you know, the very high-end, high-polar loft, polar, whatever the heck it was, all these things in it. I think the sleeping bag was like, and this is $1,985, the sleeping bag was almost $1,000 back then. That's an expensive bag back then. And when I double-bagged it, brought it back, I let them sit in my garage after I was home. After a couple of days, I went out, and this was the experiment. Let's take those sleeping bags out, weigh them, and then hang them up and let them dry for like a couple of weeks, really, really dry. Take them both out, do that with them, and I actually had several sleeping bags there, and then see how much moisture is in them. Here's the interesting thing. The PAL sleeping bag sleeping system had been in 21 nights. It had 8 ounces of moisture. There was a little bit that was in it because there's moisture passing through these things and it doesn't all get out perfectly. So it had 8 ounces of water in it. The other sleeping bag that had the normal, you know, Qualofill, Holofills, whatever it was in it, and its big brand name, it had 8.5 pounds of water in it, and it had only been slept in 8 nights. So 21 nights. And 8 ounces of moisture. The other one was 8 nights, and it had 8.5 pounds of water inside of it. And it was about to crash. Now, it was a huge bag, had tremendous loft, and it felt like it was working extremely well after 8 nights. The people using it were, like, thrilled. We weren't pushing its limits. It was listed as a 40-below bag. We were only sleeping at 20 below at the coldest. Most of the time, it was 0 to 10 below because we were late in the season. So we were not pushing its limits. But time was accumulating such that on day 9, 10, or 11, someplace in there, that thing was going to crash and it would have turned into a popsicle, a miserable place to be. So that's how the system works. That's what's different about it. You see, we're obeying the laws of physics. We're not fighting the laws of physics. The law of physics says that moisture moves from where it is warm to where it is cold. That's where it wants to go. We don't try to put something in its way. We tell it, go here, freeze here. We want you in the de-icing cloth. The whole system has that kind of engineering philosophy, if you will. work with the laws of nature, not against them. All right, so there is our sleeping system, the sleeping bag, the moisture handling pad, the de-icing cloth. Now you have some auxiliary things like a compressor bag that you put things in. You don't stuff these sleeping bags well. In fact, stuffing them can hurt the foam. You want to roll them and then compress them, squeeze them down. I squeeze it down into a nice small little bundle, so when I'm backpacking or traveling, it's small. When I get to where I'm going, I just let it puff back up, and then I'm ready to use the thing. Let's talk about a bed wrap or a shelter. That's the next thing for sleeping, because you don't actually just take the sleeping bag and dump it in the snow. It sort of works that way, but you really want to give it a little bit of shelter. Now, remember, it's a sleeping system that has the de-icing cloth, moisture handling pad, and the sleeping bag, and those three individual items. I've actually been able to combine the de-icing cloth and moisture handling pad in one is a slip cover. For the de-icing cloth is a slip cover over top of the one-inch foam. But you don't add it directly to the bottom of the sleeping bag. Not enough time to discuss here, but that just won't work, so that's separate. You may have a tent. Fine, if you have a tent. And if you're going to be using a tent for long periods of time, it wants to be a good quality one. You might have some kind of a shelter. I like to use a bivy sack, which is basically just it's a micro tent that is so small that you just slip it over top of your one sleeping bag and you're done. Extremely compact, very lightweight. I use those. But let's say that a bivy sack or a tent or those things are too expensive for you to use right now. Let's talk about the low-cost alternative. And this is something we have been doing since the late 1950s. But I think it started either 58 or 59 is when we began this practice. I think it was 1958. And that is using a plastic sheet. What we're going to use is a 12-foot by 12-foot, 4-mil thick, clear polyethylene. Now, there's kind of like two kinds of plastic out there. There's one that it's kind of milky, not real clear anymore. That's, I think it's probably made with a recycled plastic, or somehow it's different, it's lower cost. That plastic is kind of brittle, it doesn't hold up as well. You want the ones that are clear, very much like your Ziploc bag in your kitchen. You know, it's not crystal clear, but you can see right through it very easily. Don't get the one that's kind of milky, you want the ones that are clear. They hold up much better, they're much more flexible, especially in the cold. This is construction plastic, visqueen. So you get this plastic film, 4 mil thick. I buy it in 100-foot rolls, 12-foot wide. Just whack off a 12-foot piece. Means that it ends up costing about $5 or $6 a person, because you'll get 9 of them out of it, is what you're able to do. Is it 9 or 8 of them? Anyway, you get what you get out of it. They're not very expensive that way. Now you're going to use that as your bed wrap. And you will see precisely how to do this in a full discussion of it in that DVD number 2 on clothing, the Self-Reliant Family Series number 2, which is on clothing. You're going to see the bed wrap, because you see nighttime clothing is bedding, and you have to have a way of protecting it or sheltering it. So that's kind of all shown together in the clothing section. You'll see how to fold it. You lay the sleeping bag off to one side a little bit, you know, about one-third of the way in. Then you can fold that short side up over top, and then you take the long one that folds all the way over the top and tucks back up underneath. You're going to now be laying on that flap. Then you take the foot and you tuck it up underneath. The sleeping bag, you're leaving about 2 feet or so, 2.5 feet at the foot. That tucks up underneath. You're laying on top of it. Now you have an opening where you can slide down inside. If the weather is good, you just kind of push things back and you're laying outside with your face outside. If the weather is really poor, you can kind of flip the plastic sheet over top of you. If it's really bad, you'll grab and tuck it up underneath you. Some people say, well, won't you suffocate in there? Well, first off, you don't sleep through suffocation unless you're, you know, in hypothermia and you're dying anyway, and then you have another problem. But you won't sleep through that. The other thing is it's still very open. It's open on the end, and if the weather is really bad and the wind is blowing and beating around, it's pumping air through this thing all the time, you'll be just fine. We've done this thousands of people nights, and when I added it up a few years ago, all the groups that my father has taken, that I've taken, and individually and with my family, I estimate that a number of years ago we had at least 25,000 people nights sleeping in plastic sheets, and we haven't lost any of them through the years. So it works wonderfully well. It will keep you beautifully protected from the wind. then some people say, well, I've done that, and you get all wet. I say, well, define to me wet. Well, all over the top of my sleeping bag in the morning, let's say it's summer, I got all this moisture on it. Well, that's condensation. And from your breath and from your clothing and perspiration, the moisture that's coming out, it's being moved from where it's warm and next to you outside where it's cooler. Even if it's in the summer, it's cooler. The plastic sheet stops it. It stops right there. It's a waterproof membrane. And you're saying, aren't we breaking the rules? Not really. In this case, it's a temporary thing that shelters your sleeping bag. And, yeah, that'll get the surface of your sleeping bag a little bit damp, but we're talking a cup of water that's spread around the surface. It'll go right away. Let's say it's the winter, and the winter is when it's really beautiful. It makes all that frost on the inside of it. And it's true. There's all this frost. Guess what? That's frozen water. It's solid. It's dry. It's dust. You just brush it out. You just open up the sleeping bag or pick up your bag. You just brush it out of there and knock it right out. It's very simple. And some of the pictures that are in the DVD on clothing, DVD number 2, you'll see pictures of that. Wolf Creek Pass, Colorado, at 42 below zero that particular night. And here's the sleeping, the plastic sheet around the sleeping bag. It's all white with frost on the inside. It's just dust. It brushes right out. So it works so wonderfully well. That's how you protect your bed. That's how you take care of yourself. After this break, we'll talk about just a few other things. Wrap up this beautiful day talking about winter without worries. Your host, Jim Phillips.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Thank you.
welcome back to this beautiful day and Prepare Without Fear. I'm Jim Phillips, your host, as we finish up our program today. We've been talking about the clothing, and this is the last in the series on clothing. This is number four class on the clothing, doing everything I can to describe you how and why the clothing works, what you can make is to take care of you in the winter. We'll have other topics on clothing for summer and other types of conditions, but winter is one that I find people so poorly prepared for. The Phillips Arctic Living System and the clothing that's inside of it allows you to go out into the wilderness, into the cold, whether it's for an emergency or recreation, and live without fire or shelter. In fact, that's what the class used to be called. The one we call Winter Without Worries was called Without Fire or Shelter years ago. There is a class coming up that some folks up in the Rexburg, Idaho area are organizing. It'll be a Friday night and all day Saturday. There's some prerequisites to come to the course. You really need to have the DVD number one and number two and go through that beforehand, because I won't have time to discuss those things in the class. We're compacting this down and focusing right on how to make the clothing, what are the materials and how to make it, and there's a lot of material to cover in that. So all the things we've been discussing on the air, you're going to see there and be able to handle there. So if you're close by, and if, or even if you're not close by and you want to come, drop me an email at askjim@preparemyfamily.com or leave your contact information at 888-U-GET-SET. That's 888, the letter U, G-E-T-S-E-T, and we'll get your information there, get back with you. You can also go to the website, preparemyfamily.com, and here very shortly, there'll be a place where you should be able to register online for that class. That information will go up as soon as we have a final commit on the date. It's really getting enough people together so we can keep the cost down. It's very expensive for me to travel. I have to bring a U-Haul full of stuff. We put together all of the materials and the time of the folks that I have to hire to do that. But if we do it in volume with enough people, like I have around 100 folks there, then we can keep the cost very modest to put on these classes. And I like to keep it down for those that are struggling with the cost of preparing, or they're trying to do so much. So I do that every way we can. That's why I do this program out here. That's why we give these things away free. And I appreciate RBN for doing this, and I hope that you support them, because they're the ones that are sponsoring this program. Please thank them. Please help them in any way that you can, because they're making this program possible so we can help as many people as we can. Also, there's another class that's tentatively scheduled in central Utah. And then I'm looking for people who would be interested in helping to put on these classes in your area, in your community. And we'll publish them and talk about them to everybody that we come in contact with on our website, on RBN, and through other channels to draw people there so we can get enough folks in one place that we can afford to do it and yet keep the price modest. Just in finishing up, a few little references here. You'll find things written about the Phillips Arctic Living System before it was called that, because that name came about in 1985 when I was working with some development people. But you'll find articles in Boy's Life in 1964, 1966, 67, Popular Science in 1969, Sports Illustrated in 1970 and 1971, Boy's Life again in 1971, a book, Backpacking, by R.C. Rethmull in 1964, the BSA Field Book, the 1984 version, Mother Earth News, 1985, Popular Science, 1989, The Sense of Survival in 1990, American Survival Guide, 1990, Pleasure Packing in 91, Preparedness Times in 92, Roughing It Easy in 94, American Survival again in 2000. I think there's been some since then. I haven't tried to keep track of them. It's not something that just happened last week. It's something that we've been living for years. It has a lot of history to it. It has a lot of knowledge and experience that's behind it. So we look forward to seeing you in the future on this program to talk about water.